This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 409. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Titans together! Gotham gets the hero it wants, On the Farm with John, and Bring Your Robin to Work Day. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, June 19th, 2016. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts, and blogs, or you can subscribe via iTunes where you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn, or you can call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Titans Rebirth number 1 by Abnett, Booth, Rapman, and Dollhouse. There was a Titans Hunt miniseries that led up to both this and Rebirth as a whole, but we didn't actually pick it up.
Do you think we lost anything because of it?
I don't think we did.
Okay.
Wally West is, of course, the heart of Rebirth, so I felt we needed to read this.
Yes.
We find him at the current Titans HQ, looking through old scrapbooks, allowing us to see flashbacks. Nightwing arrives back in his old costume for the first time.
Since Dick Grayson ended.
And he confronts Wally. Now, the big problem in DCU Rebirth was that people didn't recognize Wally. And apparently that's now been fixed because Wally can zap people with the Speed Force, I guess, so they remember.
Well, if we think back to Rebirth, when he like reached out and they touched each other, that the other Flash remembered him too.
I suppose. The other Titans arrive, also not recognizing Wally, and maybe getting a new costume at this point was a bad idea. As he touches them, they remember him, and we get flashbacks. Roy showing Wally his rundown apartment, Wally playing a prank as Donna disapproves, Wally and Lilith as a couple. Apparently that's new.
Oh, okay.
Maybe that came out of Titans Hunt.
Yeah.
Garth going back to the sea, Dick and Wally taking a joyride in the Batmobile, and we end up with a big group hug.
Now, I did have a question. Is Garth around now? I mean, was he in the Titans thing?
He was in Titans Hunt, yeah.
Okay, I thought he was gone.
He was, so I think they've reintroduced him.
Okay.
So Wally warns them about someone changing history, just like we heard in the main event, which made them forget each other, and that's kind of what generated Titans Hunt.
Okay.
But their friendship will keep them together. Aww. The artwork was impressive. We'll see where this goes. I'm not sure if I'm going to get the new ongoing Titans title or not.
Yeah.
Batman number 1 by King, Finch, Banning, and Belair. First off, it's a good idea to have Finch doing what he does best, artwork, because he's all over the place as a writer. See the JLA title. We begin on an airplane about to land in Gotham, and a great shot of the bat signal from above. A kid in a plane seeing the bat signal on the cloud, but from above the cloud.
Yes.
At GCPD, Gordon is telling Bruce about a missing surface-to-air missile. When said missile hits the plane, Bruce is in action, getting info from Alfred. Duke, a.k.a. the We Are Robins Robin, we really need a name for him, asks if he can help. And Bruce asks him to find an angle that would help him save the plane. Bruce asks Alfred to call in the League, which is a new one for Bruce.
Yes.
They go, wow, you actually did try to call in the League. Of course, they're all busy, so it's up to him. Bruce ejects out of the Batmobile and lands on top of the plane.
Yes. Well, that was what the angle was. I assumed he had some sort of a jetpack or
something.
Oh,
yeah, it was a jetpack thing. Gordon is still on the phone with him saying, where are you? Bruce says, I'm on the plane. Oh, of course, you're on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
A guy on the plane is saying how Gotham is trying to kill them, and the kid on the plane sees Batman on the wing. He adds some little mini jets to the plane and starts firing them to guide it. They all figure out that the plane can be saved if Bruce stays on it to guide it into the water, killing him. Mm-hmm. A short aside from a dead Cobra assassin who's taken out by somebody we don't know, who says, "Observe the clock, Batman." Is this like a new, grittier version of Clock King? I don't know. As Bruce is about to land the plane on the river, he says, would they, mother and father, would they have been proud? Is this a good death? Yes, Master Bruce, they would have been proud as I am, sir. Suddenly, the plane flies back out of the water, and Bruce assumes it's Clark. No, it's two new flying heroes, Gotham and Gotham Girl, who says, Batman, it's an honor and a pleasure. This is our city. We are here to save it. There's a really great one-and-done story, but it also sets up the new series and these new heroes, or I'm sure are not what they seem.
So is this the Gotham series? Or what?
Well, this is just be the ongoing Batman series.
This is the ongoing Batman, but it's going to be about Gotham and Gotham Girl?
Well, but it's mostly going to be about Batman.
Okay.
But it's going to be, who are these new heroes?
Okay.
Superman number one, this is the 2016 version, of course, by Tomasi, Gleason, Gray, and Kaliz.
Okay, why did they go back to the numbering on, like, action and stuff, but not Superman?
I guess the Superman and Batman titles are not as iconic as action and detective are.
Okay.
That's the only way I can figure it. And because they wanted to have it both ways.
They wanted to have number ones and renumbering.
Exactly. We begin at New 52 Clark's gravesite in Smallville, and the real Clark, standing over it musing. He's then off to work as Superman. Cut to the Smith farm north of Smallville, where Clark, Lois, and John live. If you haven't been paying attention lately, this is the Superman from Earth August, a.k.a. pre-Flashpoint, who was married to Lois, and during that interim time, they had a child, John.
Mm-hmm.
John watches as Clark saves the barn animals from a lightning strike. Later, Clark sends John out to do chores, taking with him his cat, Goldie. Now, he's agreed not to use his powers unless Clark is around. A hawk snags Goldie, and John screams to let her go, and then vaporizes both the animals with heat vision.
Now, see, I thought that they would have talked to him. And, of course, maybe this Superman didn't have those problems. But it seemed like most of the Superboys I know haven't been able to control their powers at first. And especially problems with things like heat vision. Don't you think they would have said to him, hey, you may have some problems with other powers coming up?
Well, I'm sure they have. But this is just an instant reaction to he's losing his cat. And just subconsciously, what can I do? And he does that.
Well, I don't think he did it on purpose.
No, I don't think he did it on purpose either.
Okay.
No, but just that it was just a natural reaction to what was going on. So a neighbor girl sees the event, and John is terrified, both of what his father will say and how the secret may have just been revealed. The young girl later stops by to leave milk as a welcome gift from her father. She's clearly scared, as is John.
I was really disappointed that her name didn't start with L.
Yeah, that's right. John snaps at Clark and is sent to his room. He later looks out the window to see the Trinity out in the front yard and can, of course, hear what they're saying. And keep in mind, Bruce and Diana have no idea who this Superman is. Who they know is the New 52 Superman who's just died.
Yes.
And they're obviously concerned about the boy. Is he a threat? You know, what's being done to protect him, to protect the world. So they then hear him at his window and stare at him, and there's really dark inks making them look sinister.
Yeah, they almost look like the evil versions of themselves.
Which, to me, is kind of like the child's imagination.
Yes.
Kind of kicking in there.
Mm-hmm.
John scrambles and hides, and then Clark comes to John's room and tells him to come with him. I thought it was just a great story. I wasn't a fan of the artwork at first, but I was quickly won over.
Mm-hmm.
Justice League number 51 by Abnett, Pelletier, Hope, and Lucas. Now, this series fell behind in the schedule, and I think they didn't know what would be happening in Rebirth at this point. So we get a story about the early New 52 and Robin meeting the League. However, it also wants to tie into Rebirth and set up a new villain. Robin is doing a ride-along with Bruce, and Diana is not pleased about it. Flash and GL make jokes about Bring Your Kid to Work Day. There are these bizarre weather events. Bruce calls them Fortean phenomena.
That's an actual term.
Right, of these unexplained weather oddities. Now, there's these weird techno beasts that appear in Metropolis, so the League goes into action. The powered heroes don't seem to do as well as the fighters, who do more damage. A giant bearded man also appears, along with a Kaluan. Robin attacks him and gets taken down, and Diana has to step in to stop it. And Robin's clearly embarrassed. But Cyborg says, you know, I was a rookie too. I made mistakes. Don't worry about it. They want to know what Robin has that they don't to make Bruce trust him.
Mm-hmm.
Basically more than he trusts the League.
Now, in previous continuity, yeah, Cyborg and this Robin are basically the same age, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Now, we keep getting shots of some creature trying to get to Earth Prime, but it's not really clear. Robin theorizes that the three threats don't seem to be related, but since they all arrived at once, where did they come from? The team realizes that their first battle with Darkseid might have broken space-time, allowing these baddies to come through a dimensional portal. And it turns out the Kaluan is just there to investigate these fractures in space-time. GL powers up Cyborg to create like this super boom tube to whisk them all back, which to me is like, aren't you creating more damage by doing that?
Yeah.
The team congratulates Robin for his insight, and Batman says, I'm just getting you ready. And he says, you mean to join the Justice League someday? He says, no, to lead it, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow this is tied to the Titans one-shot, according to the last panel.
The one we just read?
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't see the connection at all.
No.
Other than, yeah, it's Dick Grayson in both of them.
Yeah.
I like this story, but I'm really guessing this was some sort of banked issue that could have been used at any time.
Yeah.
Because, again, Justice League way, way, way behind. You know, all the other initial New 52 titles reached issue 52 just before Rebirth. But now this is issue 51, and they're like jamming issues in to try to catch up. All right, before we get out of here, it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? Are you ready, Mark?
I'm ready.
Okay, I'm pressing the button.
TV related?
No.
Movie related?
Yes.
One person on the cover?
No.
Two people?
No.
Three?
No.
Four?
Yes.
Are they all men?
No.
Are they all women?
Yes.
It's the cast of Ghostbusters.
It is. Once you get that four women, you know. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, well, that took you virtually no time.
Because that's the big story right now.
Yeah.
All right. Want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including our From the Pop Culture Bunker video podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, or check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn. And finally, you can call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.